it's useful for us to reflect on why FAO is involved with social protection. Although FAO has prioritized its work in social protection now for 3 years, there are still questions in the House as to why FAO is involved in social protection. As the Director General has emphasized, most of the poor and hungry continue to live in rural areas. According to the World Bank, about 78% of the poor are rural. We also find that these people who are poor tend to be in the informal sector rather than informal, the formal sector. And this poses very important challenges because most of the traditional work in social protection, for example, which the ILO has been very heavily involved with, tends to deal with the formal sector, with pensions and so on and so forth. A third reason, of course, is that we know that the state of the world economy is poor and prospects for improvement are very bleak, particularly given the austerity policies of many countries. Fourthly, I think it's important for us to recognize that there are very serious problems with undertaking distributional programs on a massive scale because of the strengthening of property rights and the issues relating to that. And so social protection, in a sense, offers a softer option. Also, one of the things that FAO has pioneered is the work from protection to production. In other words, protection is not seen as something which is solely concerned about ensuring welfare, but also in accelerating the investments in order for people who are poor and otherwise devoid of earning opportunities in order for them to become much more engaged in productive activities. As you also know, in 2012, the General Assembly of the United Nations made a major commitment to extend a social protection floor for the entire world, particularly for the poor and vulnerable. And as you will see in the SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals, which were approved last month, there are many references to social protection and its centrality. Two paragraphs in the preamble in SDG 1, in SDG 5, and SDG 10. And as we know from our reviewed strategic framework, the social protection is extremely important for SO1, SO3, SO5 especially. What I'd like to emphasize here is to the point that most of the poor and vulnerable continue to be in sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia. This is an unfortunate reality which we will have to deal with for some time to come. Most of the extreme poor live in rural areas, as I mentioned earlier. And also, it is important to recognize that social protection is recognized as one of a very, very crucial limited number of measures which can be taken to reduce poverty, reduce and eliminate poverty and hunger. Growth, of course, is necessary, but it needs to be inclusive. Raising productivity is important. We also need to emphasize that recently, unfortunately, there are not only the increase in the impact of a number of natural disasters, but we also see increased conflicts and increased displacement of people from their lives and livelihoods. And all this needs measures to address. And as the Director General mentioned, in the case of Somalia, this has been proven to be extremely effective. Social protection also involves various types of interventions which will reduce vulnerability and alleviate both extreme poverty, hunger, and deprivation. It is important to recognize that most people in the developing countries are not currently covered by social protection. Most people, meaning particularly the poor and vulnerable. The poorest households more likely to be covered by social protection in some societies, but the shares of coverage are very, very considerably, not only by country, but also by region. Social protection basically has not only protects the poor and prevents some of the worst forms of human deprivation, it also reduces food insecurity and seasonal hunger. Our measure, the FAO measure of hunger, focuses on what is called chronic hunger. In other words, people who are hungry throughout the year. But there are, as you know, in many situations, people who are seasonally hungry, and they too need to be considered as among the vulnerable. Having a social system, social protection system in place, is crucial in order to enable governments to react quickly to crisis. Even in the case of Somalia, as the Director General pointed out, it was possible, where governance is very, very inadequate, I'm sure most people would agree, to respond very quickly, precisely through social protection initiatives. Gender sensitivity is a very crucial element in ensuring the efficacy of social protection measures. Now, social protection also empowers the poor and the vulnerable in very important ways, and also encourages investment. These measures are discussed in great detail in the report, but it is important to emphasize, and I want to make this point very emphatically, because the Director General also made the point, but it's not necessarily always well appreciated, that social protection is affordable in all countries. In most middle-income countries, it is within the means of governments, and in the lower, so-called lower-income countries, with a bit of external assistance can go a very, very long way in ensuring the broad coverage of social protection measures and the efficacy of social protection measures. Social protection alone, however, will not be enough to eliminate poverty. And this is well recognized in the report, and especially in terms of eliminating poverty on a sustainable basis. Hence, it is important to recognize that we need to address the constraints which poor households face. We need to recognize that these measures should be part of a broader rural development strategy. And we need to pay particular emphasis to building resilience. The Purchase from Africans for Africa program, known by its abbreviation PAA, has demonstrated quite conclusively, as is elaborated in the report, that a number of measures in combination can go a very long way in terms of ensuring not only social protection, but accelerating the transition from protection to production. Last 2 months ago, the Director General and his colleagues from the other Rome-based agencies made presentations at the Financing for Development Conference in Addis Ababa, and basically made the argument that it is possible through a strong, concerted effort at the global level to eliminate not only hunger but poverty within a very short period. This can be done through a combination of social protection together with what are called pro-poor rural investments. As this graph basically shows, that what would be required would be a strong push very early on, not only in terms of the coverage of social protection, but also in terms of ensuring pro-poor rural investments. And as the pro-poor rural investments increase incomes, it would be possible to reduce the reliance on social protection, as this graph also demonstrates. So the case, I think, has been made in many different circumstances, and I believe that the proposal of the RBA heads, which was made in Addis Ababa, and it was presented here before that, and was reiterated in New York last month, is something which demonstrates very beyond doubt that social protection can make a huge contribution to eliminating hunger and poverty within this generation. Thank you very much for your attention.